This is the Friday, December 23rd, 2016 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Angie Setzer. Angie, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Glad you made it down safely in this snowstorm.
I wore my helmet.
Perfect.
Actually, I slept. My husband drove. Woke up in Boxholm and the roads were much better.
It's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Now, we did not get a chance to discuss the cotton market on the show. And I know that's been kind of just an up and back market. What is your take on it looking forward into this new year?
I mean, for me, from a grain and corn standpoint, I'd love to see a nice little rally going forward just because maybe it'll encourage some acreage to look in that direction. And I think you will see that anyway. I don't know from an overall profitability standpoint what guys are seeing, but at the same time, compared to the other alternatives, you're probably going to see a continuation of strong cotton production without a weather issue.
Okay.
Questions that arise, of course, will go with the drought that we're currently experiencing in parts of the southeast. Do you see that move westward, and kind of impact our Texas production or anything like that? So at this point in time, from a global standpoint, from a synthetic fiber standpoint, from all of the things that have been weighing heavy on cotton for the past year or two, you're really not seeing a significant change in that direction. And, just as in corn, basically, we're hoping a weather issue develops to kind of push that market higher,
unfortunately. Tread water for the time being
exactly.
Until we get some news.
Yeah, and just know that if you're at the higher end of the recent range and you have some sales to make, take advantage of it. We're in a bear market overall until something happens, weather or inflationary wise. So it's somewhat easy to make sales decisions when you see the market trading towards the high end on the chart.
Right. Use those.
Use history as the guide.
As the guide. Yeah. Exactly. It's training wheels.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now we've got a number of questions from our followers both on Facebook and on Twitter. And our first one comes from Ty in Washington, Iowa, at Ty Renner. He's asking, is there any chance of seeing $10 or higher soybeans for 2017?
I'm going to imagine he's talking cash because we did see $10, $10.35, $10.40. Of course, there's a chance. But every day that goes by that the South American crop looks to be on par with what expectations are pointing towards, that kind of dwindles a bit. If we see a continuation of talk of 88 to 90 million acres of beans, and South America starts to take over on the sales side, you're probably going to be just as happy with 990 or 975 or 950 or even 925 perhaps, depending on where we end up settling here in the long run. And I've had a lot of people say, well, last year everyone said that beans never were going to rally, but last year when people were saying that, we were $1.60 below where we are now. So it's important to remember where we're at when we're discussing the likelihood of the market moving lower or a lack of rally potential. And in beans, when you're on the higher end of where they should be based on stocks to use ratios, both domestically and globally, you want to be paying attention to sale opportunities.
All right. Our next question comes from Tim in Crookston, Minnesota. We're talking beans again. Tim wants to know, will I be rewarded in 2017 for holding my 2016 beans?
You'll probably see better basis than what you got at harvest time, but I can't tell you if that's going to be based off 1060 futures or 960 futures or 860 futures at this point. I mean, I don't think we'll go that low by any chance, but I guess it depends on what reward, what your classification of reward is. I can tell you this much, that if you're holding beans in commercial storage, I probably wouldn't be paying to gamble much more than that. It's when we saw beans trade up towards $10.50, I'd commented to a customer of mine that it's like having 19 at the blackjack table and telling the dealer to hit you. You're really kind of pushing it in the direction of which way you want to go, but it's hard now to make a sale when you watch them drop 70 cents or so.
Right.
So I understand that. And the likelihood of us seeing a pop for some reason, after the holiday is probably there, but I'd be taking advantage of it.
Yeah. And you hate to again, gamble everything on a pop that may or may not come.
Yeah.
Especially when we get post New Year and the folks who have been holding beans for cash flow reasons or for tax purposes call the elevator and go, hey, mm-hmm. We're still at 970, let them go.
Well,
we're at 950 cash, let them go.
Crush is great. I mean, crush is going well. So if you've got a local crushing plant, then you'll probably see some basis significance again. But the same thing comes into question, where does it feel better to sell a 35 under when your futures are 70 cents lower than it was to sell a 75 under? I understand. I'm in the elevator side of things. Harvest basis this year stunk on ice. Yeah. But there was nothing we could do about it. We had a lot of beans and, elevators our end users were full, and you couldn't really move them. But then you had a secondary opportunity to sell $10 cash, $10, $10, $10, $10, $25 for some guys, depending on where you were. So it probably, you might get rewarded, but if I were a betting woman, I would say to let him go on a rally if you get another chance.
Now, one of the stories we've talked about on this program quite a bit, and it's certainly been a player here these last 2 weeks, is the strength of the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. Now, for folks who maybe haven't heard you before, you live in Iowa, but you work in Charlotte, Michigan.
Yep.
And in Charlotte, are you dealing with a lot of Canadian sellers of grain?
Yeah. Well, I'm dealing with both buyers and sellers.
Okay. So, what's the general... Are they pretty excited to see this strength in the U.S. dollar?
They are. I'm not.
No.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it when the loonie was gaining traction and the dollar was losing traction here a few months ago, just because. But, yeah, they're excited. We've started to see, you know, they're calling and wondering, hey, do you want to buy some of my wheat, or do you want to buy, you know, the hardest part right now, though, is the Canadian seller, the Canadian farmer, is not in a big hurry to let go of his crops. So a lot of the Canadian end users over there, and there's quality concerns. So a lot of the Canadian end users over there are finding themselves kind of forced to try to pay up to get grain moving that way.
From the U.S. into Canada
to cover some of their needs in the short term. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, we have two very large ethanol plants that are within a half hour, 45 minutes of the Michigan-Canadian border, or right there, Ontario. And so I've shipped personally hundreds of thousands of bushels. I mean, I didn't drive the truck. That's way too dangerous.
Right.
But I've shipped hundreds of thousands of bushels into Canada in the past. Of course, a stronger loonie makes that a lot easier. But right now, you know, we're sitting there kind of trying to weigh what that means. For the Canadian farmer a year ago, though, that meant that they were able to sell $5 corn, $14 soybeans, you know, with the convergence that we saw. And so it's interesting. But right now, we haven't seen the amount of movement from Canada into the east side of the state that we saw a year ago.
Okay, so it hasn't been a flood of Canadian grain.
No.
Okay.
Nope. But quality concerns have been the big issue. VOM in the eastern Corn Belt and things like that have really kind of stumbled that market up.
Gotcha.
But usually after the first year, harvest was delayed for us too. So it's kind of hard to get a sense as to what's really going on, just because a lot of guys are just wrapping up or trying to get wrapped up over there. And we're dealing with snow and all of the other things.
Winter weather in the upper United States.
Yep.
Our third question comes from former farm boy in central Iowa. And as we're talking exports, his question is, what's your thoughts on export concerns after Mr. Trump takes office?
It's such a can of worms. It's hard because I'm really happy. I was really nervous at the start of the month with the Chinese conversations that we were having. We have seen that in the first 100 days, President-elect Trump, or President Trump now, after the Electoral College, perhaps. I'm not sure
I think he's still President-elect until January 20th.
Okay, yes. So January 20th then. But President-elect Trump has come out and said that in the first 100 days, he is going to name China a currency manipulator. And I do say that a lot. Where are they? But do we say anything about it? Well, a lot of it, our power will rely a lot on what happens with South America, in my opinion. And right now it does look as though they'll have a decent crop. So the last thing we really want to do is get into a trade war or a moment of discontent with China. A quarter of our beans are exported to China at this point in time. So it's a big deal. With Branstad coming in, I think that's helpful. He knows, he has good relationships with China, so that should help. But just from an overall standpoint, we haven't even talked about Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, and Mexico's our big buyer of corn and pork and all of these things. So from an overall standpoint, I'm nervous. It is one of the things that I've been nervous about throughout the campaign.
And given your geographic location in Charlotte, it's hard to imagine two people with different personalities than Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and President-elect Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got it could be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. We've already seen, we have the tweets and we have things like that. And even the populace has been divided somewhat, the farmer, because not only do you have the trade issues that we have to contend with now with President-elect Trump coming in, but we also have the RFS issues that we have with President-elect Trump coming in. And so that was part of what you saw this week with soy oil kind of stumbling is, the people that he's putting around him are not big supporters of the RFS. Now, throughout the campaign, he said that he was a big supporter of RFS. Vilsack has come in and questioned how that's going to work. We do not have a Secretary of Ag at this point in time. It's one of two major placements that we haven't seen. So that's somewhat troubling.
Yeah.
So there's this whole scope of things with agriculture. And yes, we are the backbone. The American farmer is the backbone of the country, but we are only about 3% of the overall populace. So when it comes down to it, is it possible to see some promises made and have them kind of be a little bit more wishy-washy as we progress? So it is something, it's an unknown, and unknowns are always scary. So it's something you want to kind of keep in mind when you're looking to gamble on old crop soybeans, or you have cattle that need to be sold or something of that nature. With all of the unknowns out there, sometimes it's best to just take the known, which is profit if it's available.
Right. If it's available.
Yes.
Yes. Take it when it's available. Angie Setzer, final question.
Yeah.
The Christmas holiday is coming up. Are you a turkey, ham, or prime rib person for Christmas?
In honor of the huge amount of corn sales to Mexico this year, we are doing a fiesta.
Oh, so a lot of ground beef.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of ground beef. We're going to have some chicken.
Grilled chicken.
On Christmas Eve, we're going to do pork loin. And the day after, because now this holiday is 3 days, because we get the 26th, too.
Yep.
We've got a prime rib that's ready, and bacon for breakfast every day.
The triple threat.
How I maintain this girlish figure.
Angie Setzer, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Join us again next week when Dan Huber joins me at the Market to Market table, and watch the broadcast portion of our show where we'll take a look back at 2016, a year filled with earth, wind, and fire, and a presidential race where rural America had a starring role. So until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Happy holidays and have a great week.